We do invite guests onto this programme regularly from news organisations and outlets, online, offline, print and broadcast. And just by sheer chance, a couple of our guests this morning are both from the Irish News. Coincidence, nothing other than that, but we appreciate their input to the programme. The next person I'm about to speak to is Alison Morris. And this is in relation to something we were just touching on briefly yesterday, this new dissident organisation that has come to the fore. And you lose track sometimes of how many IRA groupings there are. This is the Irish Republican Movement, the IRM. And people get a bit blasé about the presence of groups like this. And there was more commentary yesterday about the wallpaper in the room than there was about the rather sinister message that these chaps were delivering. It's a picture that they've released, indeed. It's four camouflaged, fully armed men, armed and masked, sitting in front of a table with an Irish tricolour on it. On the table, they also have a handgun, they have bullets and a pipe bomb. And there is a guy reading out a statement. Now, I notice in the background there is the most bizarre wallpaper that you're ever likely to see. And, you know, some people saying if the police find the wallpaper, they'll find the terrorists. But it isn't always as easy as that. Some of the others remarking on the outfit being worn by the guy who is reading out the statement. He does look like, and, you know, there's no getting away from it. People are saying this on Twitter. He does look like someone who's dressed as a Muppet. But this is a sinister group and they've issued some very serious threats. Let me speak to Alison Morris from the Irish News. Who are they, Alison? I don't expect you to name them, but who are they? We have a little problem getting through to Alison, who's very kindly waiting to speak to us. But I'll just try that again. You're with us, Alison.
You're okay, I think I'm back again.
Lovely stuff.
Yes,
you're loud and clear. You're loud and clear. So who is this group?
They are calling themselves the Irish Republican Movement, and they seem to be made up of a few members of the Oglan na hÉireann, which is, if you remember, was one of the biggest dissident Republican groups. They were the people behind the bombing that that maimed Pádraig Héireann and several other attacks and bomb attacks. They called a ceasefire earlier this year. I think it was in January this year. The Irish News reported that they were calling a cessation to violence. What happens, you'll usually find, and we've seen this in the past with the Provisional IRA or with the real IRA, when these groups decide to fracture or go away, they can manage to take probably the majority of members, but you always get some who are disgruntled and who are unhappy with the direction they've taken, and that seems to be the case in this instance, that these people mainly have came from within that group and seem to have decided that rather than adhere to the ceasefire, that they're going to set up their own organisation.
People who are joking about them on Twitter, they maybe should refrain from that, because these guys are dealing in death.
The thing about it is, and I accept that the picture itself, you know, is worthy of comment, you don't need to have an awful lot of people in any sort of organisation. But same with loyalism. There's fractured groups within loyalism. There was a shooting in Ballyselin earlier this week. And that we know from the past, if we look at these sort of organisations who have engaged in vigilante-style justice, we have had several murders of people killed in their own homes or killed in their workplace as a result of this. You know, a few people with a couple of guns can cause a lot of damage, especially within small communities. Their message was very sinister, because it did threaten that they would execute any people who they believed who were involved in the drugs trade. And I would imagine, just by the tone of it and given the fact that they do have weapons, that they intend to carry through on that threat. So while I admit that the picture was worthy of comment and in some ways amusing, I think that the message behind it clearly isn't.
They have at least five members, if we presume that the camera is automatically triggered. They'll have six members if they've got a camera person taking the photograph. They don't seem to be short of guns, because sometimes you get the impression that the guys like this won't have very much in terms of weaponry, but they've got quite a cross-section there of high-velocity material.
I got somebody with, you know, a military background to have a look at those guns and tell me whether they were genuine weapons or replica weapons, and they said that they were all genuine weapons. I mean, I give way to their expertise above mine in these matters. And, you know, the thing about it is, you don't need a huge arsenal of weapons in the way that maybe the Provisional IRA or the UVF or UDA would have had in the height of the Troubles. They only really need a handful of weapons, because really what they're intending to do is not to go out and, you know, bring city centres to a standstill, but they do intend to kill people, mostly within their own community. And they did make a threat to what they call the Crown Forces, which being the PSNI, in relation to the Easter commemorations. We know that during the Easter commemorations, we had disturbances in Lurgan and Derry involving the police clashing with, there was clashes between them and Republican marchers and people involved in those commemorations. And they did make mention to that in the statement as well. So I would be concerned that this would sort of grow hold. There's a couple of these type of groups. There's another group calling itself AAD, which is Action Against Drugs, who have claimed several murders. I think they were involved in the death of a man in Pogas not so long ago. And so you can see that what is happening within republicanism is they are fracturing into these very small but very deadly and very dangerous and very sinister groups.
Yeah, the police will be looking very carefully, I'm sure, at the photograph and trying to identify who the people are. And, you know, those who comment from a distance, Marion's the latest one, saying the one in the middle, is he sitting or is he just very small?
Well, they wouldn't have much joy identifying him because you can't really see very much of him, can you?
Well, he's the one with the Muppet's head on, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't know what he has on his head. But the other ones, you know, in the past, I mean, I've covered these stories in the past, and we know that there was a person in the Shankill convicted of membership of the UDA after reading a statement out, and he put his glasses on over the top of the balaclava while he was reading it. And the police were able to identify him through that. And some people have been convicted through facial recognition. Honestly, this has completely happened over the years. There was someone who was reading a statement out in Derry at a Republican commemoration with a balaclava on. They were able to use facial recognition to identify him. But these people, you can see that they've completely disguised themselves. It'll be all but impossible to identify who they are. Wallpaper might be a different matter, but like literally you'd need to go know where to go looking for that wallpaper, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's like, in fairness, you know, those who are saying the police should investigate the wallpaper, you could trace that wallpaper back very easily to a store. there wouldn't be many rolls of it sold. The other thing that, you know, people are also saying, and you remind me of it there, when the guy put on the glasses and was identified from the glasses, is the old TA joke, you know, the talent officer. So it isn't funny. It is incredibly serious, but you can see why people are cracking jokes on Twitter. It'll be no joke when these guys carry out some of these threats.
That is, and I mean, let's be honest about this. We've seen, and I've reported, and I'm sure you have as well, about the increasing number of drug deaths among our young people. The amount of drugs that are swamping into some working class housing estates is absolutely chronic. I was speaking to a teacher, a lecturer, and not long ago, and she was saying about the state that some of the children who were doing their A-levels were coming into the class after a night out, and when she was questioned, the drugs they were taking were a cocktail of all sorts of bizarre things. And that is a really serious issue, and it's something that needs to be tackled, and something that before we lose any more of our young people. But I don't think, you know, people with guns threatening to kill people is the answer to that problem. But the thing about it is, as I always say, if you create a vacuum, you make a space for people like that. So we have to solve those really serious social problems, and then that takes away any justification that people like this have for threatening people with death. You know, if we have a proper police force, and if we have proper resources and proper statutory agents tackling things like the drugs problem and helping our young people and making sure that doesn't get hold, that immediately takes the power away from groups like this, you know, to be able to threaten people and not to have that support within the community. Because if you have a community that's swamped full of drugs, it looks like nothing's going to be done about it, and that the police don't care, and that the statutory agencies don't care, and young people are dying, that creates a space for people like this to walk in and fill. So you have to solve that problem to solve this problem, almost.
And finally, will these people ignore the likes of Sinn Féin? I see Gerry Kelly's calling on them to get off the backs of the community. Are they so distant from Sinn Féin that they would simply just not be interested in what the Sinn Féin leadership has to say?
When I go back to my first days of you sort of reporting on security issues, and you go back to when, long before the IRA had decommissioned, and you could see this fraction with groups within the real IRA and things like that, you could see that there was still a connection there between them and the Provisional IRA. The members and the membership involved were still people who were members of the Provisional IRA who had fractured. And now when I feel it when you're reporting on any of these distant organisations, and you can see that from the age of the people who appear in court. They're much younger. They're people, you know, in their late 20s or their early 30s. They're people who would have been far too young to have had any role in the Provisional IRA at that time. So you can see that the distance between them and Sinn Féin grows greater as each year passes. And I don't think that Gerry Kelly, to them, in their eyes, is it, you know, as a member of the establishment, it might as well be George Hamilton telling them to stop it, you know, because that's it for all the heed that they would pay to him. I think that what you have to do is you have to get the community to feel strong and empowered enough that people like this don't have a role, and I think that that's probably the answer to it, but that's a bit utopic, isn't it? We can't solve the world's social problems and we'll solve this.
It is a very, very serious and relevant issue. Alison, good speaking to you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Not at all.
Alison Morris from the Irish News.